About God's strange ways. Oh my word, isn't that amazing? God does indeed have strange ways. And I wanna look at the story of Jonah. I mean, he's probably one of our favorite ones. So the amazing thing about Jonah, if you just look at the background, we all know the story of Jonah. Jonah was given a mission. And we all know that God said to him, I want you to go to this great city, Nineveh. Now, if you really look at it, I was reading through the book of Jonah, there are two things that didn't really make sense to me, because on the one hand, it says the city was 3 days travel by foot. It was so big, it would take him 3 days on foot to travel through the city. Now, can you imagine? I mean, if you start walking and you are stopped nowhere, you just stop to have a drink, but how long would you guys say you will walk in a day? 20 k's?
No, much more. In the Comrades Marathon, you can walk at the whole in the given time, 8 hours.
No, but I think let's be 20 k's? 15. 15? Okay. So in other words, this city was about 45 kilometers in diameter. 3 days walk, if we say 15. And then the other thing is, at the end of Jonah, God says there was 120,000 people in the city. Can you imagine how far they must have stayed apart from one another? But the way we all know that God says to Jonah, listen, I want you to go to the city, because I'm going to pronounce judgment on the city. Now, which one of us as prophets wouldn't like an assignment like that? Going down to Camperdown, and God said to us, listen, Angus or Bridget, I want you to go and tell those people in Camperdown, I'm going to sort them out. I had it with them. I think it's one of the easiest things there is to do. Because it's... well, I'm telling you.
Try it.
But you know the amazing thing? Jonah had this sneaky suspicion that God is up to something. And instead of going to pronounce judgment, he decided, there is no way I am going to this place. You know, the Bible says that instead of going down to Nineveh, Jonah decided to run from the presence of God. I also was thinking about this now. How do you run from the presence of God? Because Psalm 139 says, if I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Hades or in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning or dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me. You are always. So I think many times we are also like Jonah, running from the presence of God, and we think that God doesn't know where we are hiding. Cool. But if you understand this thing of the presence of God, there's the two types of the presence of God. There's the omnipresence of God, where we all know that doesn't matter where you are, God is omnipresent. And then there is the personal presence of God. What do I mean by the personal presence of God? Remember the story of Moses? When Moses went into the tabernacle and he spent time in the presence of God, the presence of God was so strong that the whole face of Moses' face started shining. So when you and I worship and you feel and you sense the presence of God, that is the personal presence of God. It is in the personal presence of God where things start shifting in our lives. This last song that we were singing, They say, I see metal plates dissolve and cancer disappear and cities being changed. This is the thing that happened in the personal presence of God. The thing is that you and I need to learn, when we are in a worship service or when we're in our private time, when you sense the presence of God, we must learn the secret to linger in the presence of God. Learn the secret to hear in His presence, His personal presence, what He's saying to you and me, what He's trying to do in your and my life and in our body. You see, now what is this presence that Jonah was running from? This presence is, or the presence of God in this case, was carrying the destiny and the purpose that God has for you, for Jonah. I was actually quite shocked when I sensed this thing, that the moment that I do not spend time in the presence of God, in other words, the moment that I'm running out of the presence of God, the purposes and the destiny of, I'm actually the author of the fact that I struggle, or that, yeah, to walk in the purpose and the destiny that God has for me. Okay, so in other words, when you are supposed to go to Nineveh, and instead you go, for example, to Johannesburg, you see, that is where the problem comes in. How many times we are running out of the presence of God? Now, I'm not saying the presence of God is not in, say, for example, in Johannesburg. But if God has called every one of us, I want Bridget and Jack, I want you guys to be in Camperdown to do what I want you to do yet. But you don't like the town of Camperdown because there's nothing happening. You like the nightlife or whatever the case may be. Or you don't like to go and... You know what I mean? No. Oh, the money in Camperdown is not that good. I rather want to go to Johannesburg where I can earn 100,000 rand a month. The thing is, God has a purpose and a destiny for me. The presence of God for me and for you is, say for example, in Camperdown where he called us to. It's not that His presence is not there, but at the end of the day, you and I are running to a place like Jonah. That is when we are start picking up trouble. You guys with me so far? Mm-hmm. Now we see what happened to Jonah when he go and got onto the ship. Now you see, the amazing thing is when God has called you and me for a specific thing. We all know that scripture that says that the word of God never returned to Him void. It always accomplishes what you please. It always prosper in the thing for which you send it. If God has called you and me for a specific purpose, or to stand in the gap, or to do something in this area, the word of God will accomplish His purpose in your and my life. Doesn't matter where you run, but you say, yeah, but God can call someone else. Now I know it can happen. But if God has called you and He said, Angus, my purpose and my destiny for you is, for example, this. God is not going to call someone else, because the gift is without repentance. The instruction is without repentance. God expects you to do it. You know what's going to happen if you don't do it? You have children. Your children is going to do what you didn't do. And if your children doesn't do it, your grandchildren, someone along your line, eventually will come and do what God has destined you and me for in that area. Okay, so... Remember that God says to Moses at some point, when they were so fed up with Israel, he said to Moses, I'm going to wipe these people out. I want to going to start afresh. Can you imagine God is actually bargaining with Moses? He said, I'm so fed up with these people. Hey Moses, I'm going to start afresh with you. And Moses said, no, I don't want this thing. It's not my people, it's your people. And by the way, if you are going to start afresh with me, then just remember what all these other nations is going to say, that you were not able to complete the destiny, you were not able to complete what you've started. Amazing thing is, what happened? God changed his mind. You guys know that you can change God's mind? It's a shocker. But you and I can change God's mind.
It's a question of after what I'm learning. Weren't most of those ites and ites, weren't they giants? Weren't they?
That's a discussion for another day. You see, the greatest asset that any one of us is if we hear from God and we know what God has called us for. I'm just using you guys as an example. You're probably not seeing that many miracles. But I mean, the fact that you enjoy what you are doing, there's many people doesn't even know about you, but the amazing thing is you know that you've received the word from God. And the word from God is, go and feed the people. So at least you know that you can rest assured in the calling that God has for you. That is enough for every single one of us. Okay. And that is the greatest asset that you and I have. When God speaks to us, just being obedient to what He's speaking to us. So, Jonah, we all know that Jonah was running from God and he ended up in the belly of the fish and he's in trouble. And he knows it. When you and I end up in trouble, first thing that we have to do is we'll have to go and find us or ask ourselves, am I running from God? Am I still in the presence of God? Why is this trouble happening to me? You see, we all know that the storm erupted for Jonah because or as a result of Jonah being out of alignment with God's will and out and away from the presence of God. Now what happened is that God decided I'm going to... Okay, after Jonah was... Now, Jonah sits... That is the amazing thing. Jonah sits here in the belly of the fish. Now, it's not that he sat there on a chair, whatever the case may be. We sometimes... I don't know what other people think, but I'm many times thinking, I wonder how it was in this belly of the fish. Can you imagine...
Smelly?
Rotten fish inside, the rotten sardines inside of this thing. Every time that thing opened its mouth, if it was a whale, imagine how many kilotons of water is just... The Bible says it actually had seaweed around his head. But the Bible also said that Jonah actually died in the belly of the fish. Because he says, I went down in the depths of Hades. And there, when he was down there, then he started crying out to God. You know the amazing thing that he did? He says there is that, in Jonah 2 verse 9, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving, and I will pay what I have vowed, salvation is of the Lord. So what happened? In the midst of his biggest crisis, Jonah said, what I will do is I will sacrifice a sacrifice of thanksgiving. When you are in the midst of our darkest moments, that is the time that we get out of our situation by giving a sacrifice of thanksgiving. So the other thing is now, amazing thing, now Jonah got, the fish got rid of Jonah, because of the heartburn that Jonah caused him in his stomach. Got vomit out on the land. And then Jonah's attitude, I don't know whether his attitude really changed, because if you really look at his attitude from there, I think he reluctantly went to Nineveh. And then he warned the people of Nineveh. Now the amazing thing is, so Jonah all of a sudden had a stinking attitude. You must go and read the story of Jonah. It's actually it's mind-boggling that and that the man had the audacity to do this to God. And many times we do that. We do exactly the same thing. First of all, he went and he spoke to the Ninevites, and there was a massive repentance that happened. And then God decided, no, I'm not going to wipe out this story now, or these people. Now, first of all, just look at it now. Jonah's looking like a fool now, all of a sudden. Because he's looking like a false prophet. God said to him, I'm going to do this. He tell the people, and now nothing is happening. Now he has this attitude. And he went out of the city. The Bible says he went outside the city and he go and sat on the side, on the hill or whatever, just to check what is going to happen now. Hoping that these people are not going to repent so that God will come and whack them. And the amazing thing is now God is speaking to Noah, to Jonah, and he said to him, are you angry? Now that is before you. God asked Jonah, are you angry? You know what he did? He didn't even answer God. Go read it there. He just turned around and walked out of the city. And he go and sat on the hill. Sulking there on top of the hill. I was shocked when I saw that this attitude doesn't even... Don't we do the same thing? And then he sat on the top of the hill. And he's angry. Then when God said to him, why are you angry? He said, because I know that you are going to do this. I know that you are a merciful God. And I actually wanted these people to be wiped up. But now you have other plans here. And then God decided, okay, I'm going to show Jonah how much I love this guy. And first of all, then, while he was sitting, it was hot. Now you can imagine we are... If you look in where Nineveh is, it's in modern day Iraq. It's fairly hot there in summer, I can imagine. There's no tree or nothing, and then some Bibles say God, while Jonah was sitting there, God caused a vine to grow over him. Others Bible says a cucumber plant, and he was sitting nicely in the shade. And then the next morning, God sent a worm. The Bible says God provided. It said three times. He used the word provided. He provided the vine for Jonah to sit under. And he was. And the Bible says his mood, his depression, because it's so hot, left him to some. So he's sitting there. And then the Bible says God provided a worm. And that worm destroyed this thing. And then God provided the east wind, a warm east wind to come and to blow. And then the sun was stinging him on his head also, on his skull cap, to the extent that he wanted to die. And then God asked him, do you have any reason to be angry? And then he said, turn around and said, I have a reason to be angry, because now my plant is dead. My word. Can you believe it? You see the whole life. He's angry. I mean, as long as he's angry because his comfort zone was all of a sudden gone. He doesn't care about the other people, the people of Nineveh. He's only caring about himself. And now all of a sudden he's thinking, oh my word, God is judging me because God is sending these things. If you look at the flip side of it, God is actually sending these things, first of all, to show Jonah this is how much I love you. If I love you so much, then I will give you this temporary shelter. And I still bless you. Why do you have why do you have reason to be angry? There's one verse where he says that that part where it becomes so hot that he became weak and he wanted to die from the heat. Know that he wanted not because of the heat of the sun, he burned because when he saw this thing, he's actually when the warmth of God's heart actually touched you and me. You and I actually, I've heard it so many times that people say that they are so overwhelmed by the love of God and the fire of God that they said, God, please hold your hand, I cannot stand it. Stay your hand, it is too much for me. You see, my desire is, and God's question for every one of us, if you're looking at the story of Jonah, what do you and I want? That is the question. What do you and I want? Do you and I want South Africa where God come and just bring judgment? Or do you and I want the cry of what was also given to Jesus, ask of me and I will give you the nations as an inheritance? That is the question for you. What do you and I want? Do you and I want to see a transformation, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit like we've never seen before? Are we getting so fed up with the corruption and stuff that we just wish that God will come and wipe these people out? And I'm talking to myself as well. I mean, all of us, we are getting so fed up with the corruption and some ministers or whatever that we want God to come and whack them. That is the wrong attitude. And I was just, when I was going through this thing, and I thought, wow, isn't it amazing the strange ways of God? When we expected God to bring judgment, God come and he turn around and he flip it on its head and he bring mercy and he bring love. Same for you and me. When we see this, let our attitude be, first of all, let we not flee or run away from the presence of God. Let's embrace the destiny that God has for you and me in this Camperdown. You and I can change everything in the city. Telling you now, you and I are not going to change what we are here for. 5 years from now, this place will be a Muslim stronghold. We have an open window to change things. The city, the town is already becoming more and more Muslim. And we are in a position to stop this thing. To fight and to do what God has told us to do in this area. Cool. Thank you. Any questions?